Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
You're tuned in to the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Whether you're here to discover fresh insights or simply be entertained, we've got you covered. Visit ActiveActionPodcast.com to explore all episodes. Active Action Podcast, where voices inspire and entertain.
Hey everyone, it's me, Dr. Nazif, back again with another episode of the Active Action Podcast, where we inspire our audience to stay active and take actions. Today, I have a very special guest with me. Hello, hello, good evening. Hi, Dallas, how are you doing this evening?
I'm great, Dr. Nazif. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much, Dallas, for providing us your valuable time to join this podcast this evening. So, everyone, so today I would like to introduce to you with my guest, Dallas Collis. Dallas is an author, speaker, a coach, a life extension trainer, and an emotional baggage handler. So we'll know more about Dallas's journey and what he has to share with us today in this fine evening. So I'll just set the stage for Dallas. So please take it away and let us know who you are, Dallas, to me and my audience.
Well, I am a story, just as you are a story. And everyone in your audience is also a story. We are a collection of everything that's happened to us since birth. And those collected experiences and teachings and understandings become memories, become beliefs. We attach feelings to them. We attach ourselves to our story, and it becomes who we think we are. And so when you say to someone, you know, oh, who are you? They begin telling you pieces of their story, because that is what informs them to tell you who they are. So everyone's story has difficulties wrapped up in it. You know, from the moment of your birth, traumas start appearing for almost every human being. And for some people, they can be big, and they can be big wounds psychically and stay with them for years. But everyone carries some amount of emotional baggage with them at all times. Lack of confidence. You know, I came out of my early childhood knowing I was not very smart, not capable. I was a failure, a dummy. You know, it was going to be hard for me. I couldn't pass a test. There was something wrong with me. And this is the story that I carried with me for the next 60 years. And in that stress, trauma, the baggage I carried, it built up to a point that I turned to drugs and alcohol as a band-aid to cover the pain, to make it go away, as most addiction tends to be. It's avoiding pain, finding something to anesthetize yourself with. Of course, over time, it turns into a disaster itself. And I spent 25 years in a marriage with you know, our own home and cars and vacation and business together with my wife, but we were both alcoholics. We were both damaged people trying to live a normal life, which is all too often the case for many people. And my problem, like most people's, is I believed my story. But your story is the past. And our attachment to it is only by our belief. Now, I got very lucky. In 2000, July 1st, I woke up with cancer. And this started the best year of my life. Because in that year, in the pandemic, I had to go through cancer. I lost my wife. I lost my house. I lost my business. I lost my family to every degree. I ended up 1 year to the day later, waking up alone in a basement suite, broken, alcoholic, and suicidal. When I look back, that's the greatest year I've ever lived because it changed my entire life. It made me find the way out of my story, what I now call the story mind that we live with, that becomes us and we carry. That is my problem. That is my emotional baggage, my belief in that story. So from then on, I began making changes. But they didn't just come because I woke up that morning and said, oh, everything's got to change. Things happen in our lives that we don't even know why. Things show up and maybe open a door and we suddenly see a different way to go. You know, a light goes on in your head. Why? You're not ever really sure. It just suddenly happens. Maybe fed up enough, maybe enough pain, enough suffering that you finally go, anything but the path I've been on. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a podcast playing in the background while I was preparing dinner one night. And the man on the podcast said one little sentence. He said, show me yesterday. That hit me like lightning. Because I had believed my whole life is based on yesterday. And when he said, show it to me, I thought, yeah, I can't go to the cupboard and pull yesterday out and say, here, look, Dr. Nate, this is yesterday. Where is it? Well, it doesn't exist. It's only a memory. It's not a physical reality. So being traumatized at 10 years old and carrying it for the next 50 years, what was I carrying? There was no physical thing called a trauma. That was an event 50 years ago. I was only carrying the memory and the meaning I had attached to it. No one else. No one came to me at 10 years old and said, here's what this event means. Now you have to carry it for the rest of your life. No one did that. Well, so how does it happen? I had to have done this to myself. So my big first revelation was I had to take responsibility for the last 60 years. All that hurt and damage and pain was mine to own, not someone else's. I used blame as another addiction. I blamed the world. I blamed the government. I blamed people. I blamed events, anything but me being responsible for anything. And that's a defensive system to keep it away. If it's not me, I'm not at fault. I don't have to be worried about it. But the reality is that is how we carry the baggage because we don't take responsibility. We just keep going forward carrying it, but we don't own it. So once I owned it, I realized yesterday's not real. I don't have to believe in it. If I didn't believe in yesterday, I wouldn't have suffering and pain and all these problems because they're only held in the memory. And you change beliefs all the time. You believe things 10 years ago that you don't believe today.
Yes.
You will believe things in 10 years from now that you do believe today, and that will change. So our beliefs are only as real as we're willing to believe them. As silly as it sounds, that's the responsibility.
I'm so glad to hear that, Taras, and I really feel that the way that you speak and the way that you describe it. I know life has been very difficult for you, but I can just tell you by looking at you, you took a lot of strength from the journey, and that is actually who made who you are today. But I know pains and sufferings come, and it's like very difficult to cope with those. And only those who have gone through it knows like how to, you know, feel that. And, you know, like for the today's podcast, when I was looking at the topic, the story of mine, it really led me to think What is the story of life? Everyone's life is a story. My life is a story. Your life is enriched of stories. Everyone's life is a story. But do we actually look at those stories? Do we actually reflect on those? That's a big question, Dallas. So, Dallas, the topic of today's podcast is the story mind. Can I ask you, what do you understand by the word story mind?
Certainly. I think we have a conscious mind. And that conscious mind is the one when we're paying attention, right? We're mm-hmm. focused on something. That mind is clear and in the moment. It is right now, what we're doing right now, speaking together. We have to be conscious, paying attention to one another. Otherwise, we couldn't have a real conversation. That is your conscious mind. We also have a ton of habits and routines and subconscious behaviors that we don't have to think about. Mm-hmm. I drive home from work after a tough day. I walk into the house and I put my keys down on the counter, and the sound of the keys hitting the counter wakes me up. And I go, oh, I don't even remember driving home. Have you ever done that? You just did something so subconsciously and out of routine mm-hmm. behavior that you can't even remember doing it. It's like you were sleepwalking. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the story mind. That is the mind that's full of these routines, these habits, these regular behaviors that you don't think about that come out of the past, out of memory, memories that you give meaning to. And when they come up, you know what the belief is in that memory. And then you have a feeling based on that belief and the meaning you've given that memory. And you just do the thing unconsciously. You're not really thinking. You're not really being attentive to what you're doing. And most of our lives are lived like this because we've been practicing all the years you've been alive. You've been practicing acting in your story mind. All that baggage is you. And you only get out of it when you have to pay attention, when you have to do something specific, you know? And those aren't the most of your day. Most of your day is in that past or in a fantasized future. And those are story positions of your mind. They're not the active conscious mind. And the more we are active and conscious and not in the story, the better life becomes. Because we're not carrying the weight of those bags.
And, you know, like those baggages can be very heavy. So it's a
literally,
wonderful idea. You know?
Literally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You will see people that are tired and fed up and literally physically exhausted because they're carrying the baggage. Just thoughts can make your whole body exhausted. Just as thoughts that are happy and excited can give you incredible energy and lift you up just in your head. This is the incredible power if you can get a hold of it. And I'm not suggesting it's easy either. It's not. It takes a lot of effort to be conscious, to pay attention to yourself, to think about your thoughts. It takes real attention.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dallas, for explaining my audience what story mind is. And I think they would definitely take a lot of inspiration from your words of wisdom. So I just wanted to know a bit from you, because I know like many of my audiences, they go through like emotional things and emotional traumas, even if there's success or losses. There are many kinds of emotional baggage that we have. I was very glad to see, like, when you describe yourself as an emotional baggage handler, to learn from you. Can you please share with me and my audience some of those, like, you know, stressful moments? How would you, like, deal with those moments? How could someone, you know, like, overcome those? Or what can they do to overcome those?
Well, I think one of the biggest things to understand is that we are each much stronger than we think we are. You know, when I got to the end of my year of life collapse, and I was suicidal, I was literally planning to end my life because I figured that was the only way out of all this pain, was to finally just end it. And a friend came to me and was talking to me, And I was expressing this feeling of being weak, not being able to stand up to this, that I was just done, crushed, beaten. And he looked at me and he said, hang on a second. In 1 year, you went through cancer, lost your wife, lost your house, lost your business. You're an alcoholic. And this is during a pandemic, and that didn't kill you. Right. What do you mean you're weak? And it was like I went, huh, you mean I might be strong enough to do this? I never dreamed it. All I saw was the destruction and the pain. I didn't see the person going through it and saying, yeah, I can take this. I'm going to get back up. And so I think that's the first message to everyone, is that in your worst moment, you're stronger than you think. Much stronger than you think. We are an amazingly resilient creature. I mean, we're here on this planet at this evolved state because of that resilience. And each of us has it. And there's a million stories out there for someone who's got it far worse than you. And they still got through it. And we have to take some strength and comfort from that, knowing no one is special in this. My story isn't special. It's terrible and it was horrible, but it's not special. It doesn't make me unique. We all have these abilities to go through terrible things and stand back up. But I think the other side of that coin is to understand that story and the power that you have given it to control your life. You know, all our habitual patterns and routines and behaviors come from the story. And we end up sleepwalking as an actor in our story without really consciously thinking a lot of the time. And so, you know, I had patterns. I would get up in the morning and go sit in my chair, you know, and flip on the tube and watch some YouTube or whatever. Get my coffee and relax. I had to take my chair out of the room. So when I got up in the morning, I saw a hole in the floor. I went, oh, right, don't sit down. I've got a sticky note on my TV. It's right now. And it says, get off your ass. Because it knows I'm sitting there watching it.
Right.
I've got a sticky note on the fridge. It says, what's going into your mouth? Because we eat habitually. We eat out of routine and comfort and convenience, and we don't get conscious and think about it. And I had to do that because I had to get healthy. I had to find a way to get my health back so I could get my head on straight.
Dallas, if you don't mind me, so I'm so sorry for interrupting you for a second. If you don't mind me asking, like, how are you doing now? How is your health now?
Fantastic.
Excellent.
I'm in better shape now than I've ever been in my life. Mentally and physically. I'm just the happiest person I've ever been.
That's excellent, Dallas. I'm so glad.
Everybody can be happy all the time. Not just sometimes. I really believe there is no reason. I don't have any problems in my life. I don't have a bunch of money or an easy life anyway, but I don't have a problem because I don't make anything a problem. Life is just a bunch of situations, not problems. That's the mental disorder that makes things a problem, so we stress about them. I don't have any worries. I don't have any concerns. I have no fears anymore. Because once you've gone down a path like this, what would you be afraid of?
It makes you stronger.
What is there in the world to be afraid of? There's right. Nothing.
It definitely like makes you stronger, and you're such an inspiration, Dallas, because I know like many of my audiences, they are in their 50s or 60s. We know the phrase that life actually starts at 50-year-old, life actually starts at 60-year-old, but you're in the living example of one of that. So I'm so glad I heard
that. Yeah, there's no age now. There's no age, there's no time in life. You are where you are, when you are, you're doing whatever you'll do. It doesn't matter. There is no, oh, it's too late for me. I work with some seniors and they have that attitude. Well, my time's done. That's good for the younger people. And I say, why? You have these dreams and thoughts in your head. You don't have to leave them. You can be 100 years old and start again. I've got a friend who's 89. He's going back to university at 89.
That's wonderful.
Because he wants to. Why not? And we get these ideas that there are stages and places in life and stations for us, and that we have to abide by certain rules about ourselves. There are none. Those only exist because you believe it. So, you know, today, a big thing you hear in the sort of self-help world is believe in yourself. Be strong, be tough, believe in yourself. And I say, no, don't believe in yourself. Yourself is the problem. You've been believing in a self that doesn't believe in you. It's the self that says, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. What if I fail? What will they think of me? That's not a self to believe in. That's the self you need to get rid of so you can imagine a whole new life.
You are listening to the Active Action Podcast. Visit activeactionpodcast.com to explore all episodes. Active Action Podcast, where voices inspire and entertain.
I'm so glad, Dallas, that you just mentioned this, because this leads me to ask you, like, if you're saying, like, we shouldn't believe on a specific self on us, then can I ask you, like, what is actually belief according to you? What the belief should be?
Well, I call it story editing. You take your story mind. A lot of things we learn are skills. We go to school, we learn math, we learn a language, all these things. And those are skills. Those aren't emotional baggage. That's a part of our brain we use every day to work. I'm talking purely about those things that give us feelings of negativity about ourselves, about our abilities. And I literally look at my story and say, I need to edit those things. Those things don't belong. They're not mine. They're not true. I don't have to own them. So I literally try to pay attention to my thoughts. They say we have 10 to 30,000 thoughts a day arise in our heads. They arise out of what I call the story mind dust. These thoughts just come out of that dust and we latch onto them. A thought comes up and says, oh, careful, you're not very good at this. Be careful. And we grab the thought and we go, oh yeah, that's me. I got to be careful. I'm not very good at this. And the spiral happens and we get negative and we end up screwing up. You know, we live up to our story. So if you get consciously thinking about it and you see a thought happen, thoughts come up in your head, and I literally will look at the thought and say, no thanks, you're not me, goodbye. I'll speak to the thought, because that thought is coming to speak to you and control you. So I don't listen to it. And I practiced this for 6 months, and all of a sudden those thoughts started to dissipate. They started to go away. And now they rarely ever show up. So I have this free space, open space in my mind and my life that I don't have to fill with anything. I don't create a new story. I don't have to have a story. I just have to live my life the best I can right here, right now, this day, because that's all I'm given. There's no yesterday. There's no tomorrow. You know, what's behind you and what's in front of you is fantasy and memory. It's not real. This is real. You and I are sitting here talking to each other from across the world, spending this time together, and that's all that's happening. I'm not at the same time thinking, oh God, what happened yesterday? Or, oh God, what do I have to do tomorrow? I'm not, because those things aren't real. This is. So you stay here. You don't go there. You don't travel to your past. You don't travel to your imagination of a future tomorrow. You keep yourself working right here, right now in life.
So if I like hear properly what you're saying, Dallas, is present actually matters. And it's how like we take advantage of this for our advantage. It's like how we act that matters in the present. Because even though, you know, like our actions in the past, we cannot change them. Right. Our actions in the past, it's not in our hand.
Right.
And it's not that everything goes well and everything is in our control. But even though if we act like clearly and if we act like actively and in the correct state in the present, that might even have some positive influence in the future as well. So it's very important that what we do now is very important, like at the present moment.
Yeah, I would never suggest that you shouldn't have goals or dreams for the future. Those are good, healthy things to have. They can be very motivating and exciting. Nothing wrong with that. What happens, it goes wrong, is you live in the future, in this expectation of being there, and that takes you out of your consciousness right here and now. I think this is why most people don't reach their goals, because they're always going, when I get there, it's going to be good. When I get the money, I'll be happy. When I get the house, everything's going to be good. When I find the partner I can be in love with, I'll be happy. And it's like somewhere you're going to get to. And I said, you're not going to get anywhere. You're already here. There's nowhere to get to. The work you do now will show up tomorrow, but you can't change tomorrow. Like you couldn't change the past. You can only change what you do right now while you're awake, between getting up in the morning to going to bed tonight. That's your life. For me, I call it the 16-hour life. Every day of my life is 16 hours. I sleep for 8. So I have a 16-hour life in which to live. And in that 16 hours, can I go for a walk and be active physically? I think I could do that. Can I eat a little better in that 16 hours? Yeah, I can probably do it. It's just one day I have to eat a little better. It's just one day that I have to get in some exercise. It's just one day I should tell someone I love them. It's just one day that I have to take care of myself and stay out of the past and out of the future and work right here, right now, focused with attention on my life. One day. Who can't do anything for one day? That's all you ever have to do. And tomorrow when you wake up, you get one day. And it's a do-over. Because anything you did wrong today, you can correct on your next one day. It's a fabulous gift to make life small. Life doesn't have to be big. You know, you can spend all your time in climate change and war and famine and poverty and inequality. And there's a million reasons to be down and negative and upset in this world. But if you crush your life down to what it really is, you can only treat someone with love right now. You can't do it yesterday. You can't do it tomorrow. You can only make the whole world better by you living as a better human being right now. We can only be brothers and sisters by expressing that right now. There is no other time or place. It's not going to change in the future, because this is always the present. There is no future. You know, when tomorrow comes, it's today. It's always going to be today. So just focus on this day. If you stop worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow or dragging the bags from the past, life gets simple. Life is not difficult. Break it small. Break it very small. I had to start with tiny baby steps, you know? All I started with was, when you get up in the morning, go outside for a walk. That was my goal. Every day was the same. Just go for a walk. But that started my body and my mind getting healthier. One little tiny step. Whatever problem I had to look at it and say, it's just a situation. Can I deal with the situation? No? Okay, then drop it. Because you can't do anything about it. It's just like the past. You're not going to go back and fix it. Deal with what you can today. And deal with what you can again tomorrow when you get up, because it's today again. Keep it there. And life becomes so much easier, so much more fun, so much happier, because you control it. You're not walking around like a zombie, constantly thinking about what you did wrong or what might go wrong tomorrow. We all do this. We're living in our heads and worrying and stressing and getting upset. And it's never about right now. There's nothing wrong right now.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful advice, Dallas. And I really think that if people think that how we can take advantage of what we have right now, not like grieving over what happened in the past, not thinking too much what will be happening in the future. It's very easy to work right now and to, get better, to do good for us and our family. But I don't think many people get it, but living in the present moment is a big thing to do and a very strong and stressful thing to do as well. But training the mind in that way, like to leave yourself the moment that you have right now, is very, very important. And I'm so glad you have that same perception, Dallas. I had a question for you, Dallas, is that when I describe you, I do say as an author and a coach. And one thing was very interesting to me that you mentioned that you're a life extension trainer.
Journey after my year of collapse, my first movement was to get healthy. So I broke it down into five areas and said there's physical fitness, there's food fitness, mental fitness, social fitness, and sleep fitness. If I could get a hold of those five areas and make them stronger, I'd be well on my way. And as it turns out, those things will extend your life. Because, of course, it is a sedentary lifestyle that brings on a lot of disease. It is our diets that bring on a lot of disease. It is our emotional welfare and state of being in our mind that also causes disease. It is our lack of sleep because of all the stress and tension that causes disease. And so if you can take care of those areas, you will extend your life. It doesn't mean you're going to live 120 years, 130 years. It doesn't mean that at all. It means your quality of life, your health span will go much further. Far too many people spend their last 10, 15 years sick, really unhealthy, a horrible way to live. I just went through the last 8-10 years of my mother's life of her being sick all the time. Mm-hmm. Sedentary, having a lousy diet, just not taking care of herself. So I began doing that. I began training at a gym and helping people. Giving people advice on eating. I wrote a book. It's right here behind me, the red cover, Fit 5 Life, I'm Moving the Wrong Way. And it was all about that. But they brought me to this next stage. Every person I worked with would run into roadblocks. And the roadblocks were always the same. They were this story mind. Their story kept coming up and getting in the way. And they weren't mm-hmm. confident, or they didn't have the drive to do it. And they would get upset at themselves and beat themselves up. And they would blame all sorts of things in their life that they weren't what they wanted to be. And so this constantly came up to me. I realized this is the basis to everything. What we're carrying mm-hmm. around in our heads is doing all the damage. You know, none of these people had someone standing beside them telling them they're stupid. They were telling themselves they're stupid. I mean, you wouldn't let a friend talk to you the way your mind sometimes does. None of us would.
Yes, indeed.
This beating ourselves up is shocking when you look at it rationally and you realize it's outrageous that we've allowed this to happen. And that's the whole point. We have allowed it to happen because we've been sleepwalking. So life extension led me right into this. Because I also found the healthier you became, the stronger you become mentally. The body and the mind are completely linked together. You know, medicine and philosophy and everything has had 100 years of believing this separation of the brain and the body, and this very mechanistic approach in medicine, and not believing you could think yourself into cancer. A few years ago, that was silly. Medical community has thought it was absolutely silly. Psychologists said, I'm not, it can't be done. Now we know you can. You can worry and stress and have so much anxiety that your actual mitochondria break down and don't produce the energy systems you need, and organs begin to malfunction and dysfunction, and we have disease, chronic illnesses stemming from mental illness. And the mental illness, I no longer believe, is real. It's just a story mind. It's bad connections and beliefs in ourselves. And so we get hung up in these loops of pain and suffering and disbelief in ourselves. And of course, everything gets dysfunctional. Of course, I want the potato chips and the ice cream and I want to sit on the couch. I just want it to go away. Of course, I want the alcohol. Of course, I want anything that'll take it away. I'll eat myself into comfort somehow. I'll drink myself into it. Mm-hmm. And so we all end up going down further, down the same path, getting worse and worse. And this only inflates the mind's problems, doesn't take them away. So I think 100 years of talk therapy, we have to look at it and say it's been a failure overall, because all we're doing is recharging a memory. We're running it over and over, talking about it. This doesn't make the memory go away. You can't heal trauma. You have to walk away from trauma. You have 80% of your life you can't remember right now. You don't know what you had for breakfast on September 14th, 2005, do you?
No.
And who would? If we held every memory, we couldn't function. We'd be overloaded. So if you think about that and realize 80% of our memories, we don't hold on to them. How do we not hold on to them? Because we don't repeat them. We don't replay them. We don't watch the movie. If I repeated that breakfast in my mind 5 times a day, every day, I could tell you right now what I had, because it would be a clear memory. We take trauma and we replay it over and over in our mind, like a movie, until it becomes us. And we know it is us, but we've created it. You can actually stop remembering things. You can actually catch your mind when it brings it up and say, no thanks, not interested, and stop it. And if you do this enough, for me, over 6-8 months, it started to fade away. Everything started to fade away because I didn't replay the movie. I decided not to be the actor in my film anymore. That was not a movie I wanted to play in. So I got off the stage and I walked away.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dallas. And, you know, like, I think our audience will find it like very, very helpful to understand, like, what does a life extension means and how they can do, what actions they can take, you know, to have their life extended and like to have, you know, like have a bit of a longevity that everyone desires in life. Yeah. I really, really appreciate that, Dallas. At this point, Dallas, I just wanted to ask you, like, for the benefit for my audience, how could they reach out to you for guidance and for inspiration, if you can kind of let me know?
Well, I always say today, you know, you can't hide anymore in this world. If
sure
I have
you
your name, I can find you online.
Yes, for
so
sure.
I say now, you know, I'm on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. You have my name, you're going to find me. I can't hide from you, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Audience, if you're watching this podcast in YouTube, then I have put Dallas's Facebook and Instagram handle in the screen. And also, like, if you go to the Active Action Podcast website, we have a webpage for each of our esteemed speakers. So if you search into, go to our website and search like Dallas College. So if you visit that webpage, you'll get all the information about our wonderful guest, Dallas, who gave us today a lot of inspiration. And specifically, I just want to mention again that please don't think that your life has ended after a certain age. Age is just a number. And as Dallas said, age is nothing in life. Anywhere you can start. And even someone, you know, like Dallas, who has gone through a lot, but he has come up a lot more stronger. That is the takeaway. That should be the takeaway. And that strong sense, that strength made Dallas an excellent living human being today, as of now. He's an author, he's a coach, he's a life extension trainer and an emotional baggage handler, which are very, very big responsibilities, which you won't be able to have if you don't have that strength. And that strength came from your story. That strength came from your experiences that make you live, like make you a little bit wiser every day.
So yeah, we hope so.
You know, we hope so. Yeah, for sure. So I would really, as you know, being cognizant of the time that it's coming to an end for this episode, but Dallas, I really, really appreciate you, your word, your kind words of wisdom, and for your very, very valuable time. I know you're very busy, but your very valuable time that you have provided us in this podcast. So for any last word for the audience of the podcast, if you have.
Examine your history.
Okay.
Look at it. Mm-hmm. Do you really have to believe it? Is it really true today? You know, self-examination is the beginning. You don't have to believe your story. There's no law here that says you have to believe it.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dallas.
Thank you for having me.
For your time. So thank you so much, everyone, all our audience from In Active Action Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Nazif, and our esteemed guest, Dallas Collis, signing out for now, but we'll be back in another episode with another inspiration. Up until then, stay active and take action. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. For more episodes and updates, head over to activeactionpodcast.com. Until next time, keep smiling, stay inspired, and keep making your mark. This is the Active Action Podcast, signing off.